Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Ron, we're heading right back out to the Hall and Capitas fan hotline where we find our friend Bob Walk. Bob Walk brought to you by Greenwalt Roofing. They're more than great roofs. And by Community Bank, moving forward, building a stronger community. Bob, how are you today?
I'm doing great, guys. Beautiful day off. Everything's going good. How about you?
We're doing well. Sounds like the birds chirping in the background there. We could start in a million different places today, Bob. But I'm wondering if you saw the way the Mets game ended yesterday with Conforto leaning into that pitch that was clearly a strike. And he got hit, and they win the game. And the umpire afterwards says, I should have called him out. The guy was hit by a pitch in the strike zone. Have you been through a situation like that? What did you make of it?
No, I think a few years ago we had, I can't remember now, somebody was throwing a no-hitter against us. My mind is not working as way it should. And one of our players kind of leaned in. It was a strike. And
Top
they got hit. It was a perfect game, as a matter of fact. And I think that's what broke it up. But, you know, I've heard of these things happening before. It's something that, you know, you don't see happen very often. And I guess eventually they're going to, you know, figure out a way to do away with all these kind of things. And, you know, you'll be able to look at everything. And, you know, especially once the strike zone becomes computerized.
Bob, you know, the team off to a rough start, obviously, 1-6. And I guess even Shelton yesterday thanked the fans. They're saying they know it's a process. It's going to be a journey. What is it like going through that as a player? And I remember, like yesterday, the 1985 season where you were on that team. That was the drug trial year. The team lost 104 games. From a player standpoint, what is it like going through something like that when you know on a lot of nights you're going to get your brains beat in?
Oh, I think it's a little different comparing this team to an 85 team. In 85, there were a lot of people that had been here for a while and were actively asking, you know, to be released, traded, you know, whatever they wanted out. It really was like, you know, the ship was sinking and everybody was getting off. You know, Chuck had been told that he wasn't coming back. So, you know, he was kind of a lame duck at that point going down to the end. And so nobody really knew what their futures held. You know, the young guys were all kind of worrying about, you know, themselves, their career, like myself. You know, I had been released by the Braves just a couple years ago and got myself back into a good situation there, especially with Chuck. And so there was a lot of question marks for me personally in my baseball career. And I don't really see that with the team that the way it is now. That it's more like the club maybe of like 86 or 87, where changes have been made. A lot of the people that, you know, were here a couple of years ago aren't here anymore. I'm sure there's going to be a few more, or at least a couple more, gone by the trading deadline this year. And what you're trying to figure out now is who's going to lay the foundation for the next 4 or 5 years to try and get a club like the you know, 90, 91, 92 team was, where you can go out and come in first place. And that's going to be the question marks. You can't really look at the win-loss numbers. That's going to drive you crazy if you do that, because that's probably not going to be too good. But who are going to be the good players? Do we have any good players? You know, are the guys we're hoping, are they going to come through? You know, Key Brian Hayes is probably our biggest guy right now to really come through and be the man. And of course, you got Reynolds out in left field, and Keller, who's pitching tomorrow night. You know, he's got to take a step forward. Yeah, I mean, he's just kind of treading water as a guy that's just kind of, you know, he's made the big leagues now, but you know, that's not good enough for somebody with his talent. So he needs to take a step forward and show us that he's going to be a star player. We need those kind of players, and finding them and identifying them is what this year is going to be about.
Bob, you mentioned a computerized strike zone, and I'm wondering if you think that's inevitable, and is it something you would support?
Yeah, I think it's inevitable, and it wouldn't bother me, you know, one way or another. I mean, I really, as you know, I like the old game. I don't really care when an umpire messes something up, and you know, I don't really want it reviewed. I just want us to move on and keep playing the game. But that's not the direction that baseball has taken in the last decade. And looking forward in a decade, 10 years from now, I can see a number of changes. And the umpire situation, what their jobs are on the field, is definitely in flux right now. They're experimenting with stuff in the minor leagues that if it goes good, you're gonna see a lot of these proposals next year. A lot of this stuff's going to come up in the labor contract that's on the horizon with the Players Association also.
Bob, we've talked about this before to you, about speed of game and pace of game. That opening game in Chicago, man, I was a much younger man when it started than when it finished. It was tedious. It was hard to make it through that entire game. You know, do you have any solutions? What do you see happening? And I know, you know, Shelton told us the other day, it's not the time of the game that bothers him as much as the pace of the game. That game had zero pace.
Yeah, the games that bother me now are the games with just tons of walks. I mean, I can't remember which game it was. You know, I think that we were close to 30 base on balls between the two teams in one of those games on the road trip, and it's just incredible to see how many pitches have to be thrown every game to get through nine innings, and it's all like deep counts and strikeouts or home runs, and there's not nearly enough action out on the field, and I think that's what baseball's working on. I've heard a lot of quotes from people that are in the upper management of Major League Baseball, and they want more action on the field. And so that's why I think where the changes are coming from, that they're going to try and figure out a way to do that. I haven't the slightest idea how they're going to accomplish it. It all comes down to the way guys approach pitching and the way guys approach hitting. And those two things combine, we don't pitch to contact. You don't have hardly any hitters like Newman or Frazier who go up there and are trying to make contact, and they don't want to go down on strikes. And you get more approaches like that, and, you know, guys going for, you know, pitching a contact on a 1-1 pitch. I see us going 0-2 and 1-2 all the time. And it's almost automatically, it's going to have to be a full count. There's no way we're going to get an out here before we get to a full count. And it's just the style of pitching. It's the approach that they take. Like, everybody's going for strikeouts.
Well, in that vein, Bob, let me throw a couple of numbers at you here. First, the strikeout rate is up again this season to, for the first time in history, more than a quarter of plate appearances end in a strikeout. So back in 2005, as recently as that, hitters had 13,000 more hits than strikeouts. That flipped in 2018, first time in recorded history there were more strikeouts than hits. And last year, it was even in a shortened season, there were 1,100 more strikeouts than hits. The average fastball is almost up to 94 miles an hour. Theo Epstein has suggested moving the mound back a foot. Would you support that idea? And do you think that this is an issue for baseball?
No, I wouldn't support that. I take all the, the velocity numbers with a little bit of a grain of salt. It's kind of the way things used to be measured and the way they're measured now. That 94 mile an hour fastball is going 86 by the time it gets to the front of home plate. So somewhere out there in the middle, that 94 is actually going 91, which is about where the old radar guns would be picking it up. Now, I do believe that there are more hard throwers than there was coming out of bullpens. You have way, way more pitchers now in the major leagues per team than you used to, and a lot of those guys are hard throwers, and you don't have to have guys that can go deep into ball games because you have such large bullpens. So, that lends itself to trying to collect more guys that throw real hard instead of guys, like we'll see in the game tomorrow night. It's a style of pitching that's kind of changed. And if you went back to, say, 11-man staffs, I don't think you would see velocities coming out of the bullpens like you see now. And I think a lot of the starters would be forced to pitch to contact and be more efficient because they had to go six or seven innings instead of four or five. So it's a lot about – it's just like the things have changed a lot, I think, because of style. The style of play has changed greatly in 20 years. And the statistics had to change along with it. It's why you have everybody shifting, because nobody will take contact and hit the ball the other way. Everybody's trying to hit the ball out of the ballpark. So the shifts work now. If you have, a bunch of guys like Frazier and Newman, say four or five guys in the opposing lineup and only two or three that are really power hitters, then the shifting doesn't work because those guys are going to be eating you alive with base hits the other way. That's why things have changed, I think. And I really, the velocity, I mean, you still had guys throwing very, very hard 30, 40 years ago, and you got guys throwing very, very hard today. Remember Mark Wohlers with the Braves?
Yeah.
I saw him throw 104 on an old radar gun that was sitting behind the glass window at Three River Stadium. So I guarantee you that pitch didn't get picked up out of his hand. It was about halfway home. It was going 104. So the velocities nowadays that we see up on the scoreboard and put on the screen and TV, that's all right out of the hand. And it starts in the foot out of the hand. It's already starting to slow down. And so it's where the balls are being measured is a big part of the big velocity numbers that you see nowadays. And, let's say if you're marketing, and are you going to give the average speed of that ball going to the plate, or are you going to give right out of the hand? What do the fans want to see up on the scoreboard? You put the big numbers up there. But it doesn't really mean that it's that different, even some cases different at all, than somebody that was throwing 20 years ago that was throwing 2 miles an hour slower. It's the way that was being measured.
Joe, is it just me, or is this like talking to Pompeiani? I can hear the birds chirping talking to Bob.
I like it.
Bob, can I stop over at your house afterwards? It sounds like you're having a very peaceful day.
Well, I had to stop from the yard work to do this. So if you want to come help with the yard work, that's fine. But it is peaceful out here when you sit down, start looking around. Part of my yard work was filling up all the bird feeders, so the birds are out here having a great time, and it is absolutely gorgeous. I can't believe the weather that we're having for baseball right now. We are definitely blessed with that.
Well, you can keep the yard work. Maybe I'll come over and have a beer and supervise. You probably have supervision already, though, don't you?
The supervision isn't constant. It just comes out and takes a peek every now and then and goes back in.
Well, let's finish with the important stuff here, Bob. We got about a minute left.
Sure.
There was a black bear sighting in Mount Washington and a 6-foot black rat snake, whatever that is, at Frick Park. A gigantic snake. I don't know if you saw photos of this thing. What's going on here? A, we live in Pittsburgh, if I'm not mistaken. Black bears and giant snakes. And B, which one of those creatures would you less rather encounter?
Neither one of them would really bother me too much. I don't mind the black bears as long as there's no little cubs around. And snakes, nah, they don't bother me at all. Any kind of a spider whatsoever, no thank you. I don't want to encounter those. I hate spiders. That's my my Achilles heel is spiders, not snakes or bears.
It's hilarious, Joe. Different people, man. You and I hate snakes, Bob. I run the other way. They don't bother you? Were you around them as a kid?
Yeah, we lived out in the sticks and in Southern California, deserty, scrubby foothills, and we had diamondback rattlesnakes and gopher snakes pretty much all over the place.
Oh my God!
Brought some rattlesnake to eat before the game, Dodger Stadium back in the day. I remember R.J. Reynolds having a fit after he ate it and said, "Oh, this ain't bad." And I told him what it was, and I thought he was going to go puke. But we grew up with a lot of snakes, and we had to be careful. We had to learn about rattlesnakes. So I lost one of my favorite dogs to a rattlesnake when I was growing up. But you know, you deal with them. But I hated the spider. We had a thing called black widow spiders out there, and I think that's what's got me afraid of spiders ever since.
Boy, I'm glad
Thank
I didn't
you,
grow
Bob.
Up where he did, Joe. Aren't you?
Oh, yes. Yes. I can't deal. I don't know if you saw a photo of this thing, Bob. It was the size of I don't know what. It was hanging in a tree. Did you see it?
No, I didn't see it. That would spook me. A snake in a tree maybe is a little something different because I'd like, what the hell are you doing up there for? You about ready to jump on me or what? You know. So
exactly.
Down in the bushes, rolling around, they're fine. It's okay, just as long as you stay away from the house.
Thank you, Bob. We appreciate the time, man. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys. I'll get back to work.
Into the weekend in sports here on Cook and Joe.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.